quit preaching. When I woke up this morning, there was a song playing in my mind. That's common. I often wake up with a song running through my mind. A song says, "All my life, you have been faithful.
It's a special time.
All my life, you've been so, so good.
I had to think that
with every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of the Lord."
Go through changes.
And I just want to testify to that this morning.
We can fight against it. We can resist it. We can deny it.
What I heard this morning,
it still happens, whether we want
I don't think it's me.
And sometimes I think the health of an organization, a church, or an individual is kind of measured by how
people talk about me not being afraid or
and I think
things like that.
Important that we
I'll just tell you this. I learned to hide a lot of my feelings.
Today we,
whether that was good or bad, I don't know. Some of it was not good. Some of it might have been all right.
And that is, Harold has come to that time in his life.
Very seldom that people knew what I was feeling.
The ministry here.
But I just want you to know that
after 43 years, approximately, just about 40 years,
God has been very gracious, very merciful.
Seems like a long time now, doesn't it?
Has
in some ways, and yet,
continued to work in my life
very fast
to get glory to Himself, not because of me, in spite of me.
Harold was only 26 years old.
And I could stand here this morning and I could tell you things from my life that
I was a little bit older
are not pretty.
But you know, I thought in many ways Harold and I kind of grew up together. And
but I just want to encourage you this morning to continue to listen to the voice of God and allow Him to draw you close. That's what He wants.
That's
what He desires. You know, he does that in some strange ways.
Glad we could do that.
A number of years ago, I was going through some really tough times emotionally. And my emotions were so raw, I just started reading the Psalms over and over. I'd read four Psalms a day.
I don't always see everything eye to eye, but we were able
to. Or five, whatever it was. I did the 1, 31, 61, 91, 121, so it's five, yeah. And you'd go through the Psalms that way. You'd read them every month. You'd go through the Psalms. And I found so much in there that was healing balm to my soul. And I also found some things that the Lord spoke to me about. In Psalm 66, I remember this so clearly. I was fretting at what some people were doing in my life. And I came across this Psalm. Psalm 66, verse 10.
I felt like
"For thou, O God, has proved us. You've tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our loins. You caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but you brought us into a wealthy place."
And that happened.
And I want to testify today that that's true.
Reach out into some other
God does that.
Some other organizations and,
he wants to do that
do
if we'll allow Him to. Another verse from the Psalms that has become very, very precious to me.
And that's one thing that I'm really glad to see.
And that is
do. And I think it was a real plus for his
find
ministry.
It here.
And so I'd just like to say this morning, personally, from Marjorie and I to Harold and Cheryl, thank you.
The last verse of Psalm 16. Thou wilt make known to me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And I just want to testify
that's
true. It's reality.
One interesting fact that
there's a joy, there's a blessing in the presence of God that you won't find anywhere else. And it's a joy that's amazing. Just amazing. And so I just want to encourage you to keep listening to God.
And
keep seeking God. It's one of the things he says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I'll forgive your sin and heal your land. So very pertinent for today, but I just wanted to focus on that phrase in there, seek my face. And when I think of that, I think of a child looking to their father. They're over there playing, a young child, they're over there playing.
And so read that over.
And they start to do something.
History there and so on.
And they'll look around to see the expression on their father's face. And their father's face tells them whether what they're doing is a good thing or not.
And
that's what God's telling us to do. Seek my face. Look at me.
I've been reading through the Psalms.
You know, make eye contact.
As I read Psalm 90,
see what I'm thinking. And hear from me.
I decided I felt like the Lord was perhaps.
I'd like to especially thank Tom.
I
know that you're remembering what I've done in the church here today, but I just want to tell you that if it would not have been for Tom, that would not have happened.
In some way, sums up a ministry.
I was stubborn enough. I was strong-willed enough. I had I was pretty opinionated. And because of Tom's kindness, because of his mercy, and because of the way that he worked with me, I was able to continue to grow.
And to
change. And so I want to especially thank him. It was a good time working together with Tom. And I'll just say this. I've said this a time or two to some people, but I'll say this publicly here.
That sort of let some things slide.
I don't know of any human being on earth that more represents Jesus Christ than Tom.
That are very basic to our faith. And
I mean that.
That we be reminded of them. If you notice that when you read Psalm 90, before you get to that first verse, it says, a prayer of Moses, the man of God.
I want to thank the congregation
for a number
of things.
We think about David.
One, Tony mentioned about being a PK.
And
I thank the congregation that, as far as I know, our children never felt like PKs.
And as I
like they had to measure up.
I realized
like they weren't
this kind of
good enough.
Some perspective on some verses.
Yeah, and Sherry and I talked about it this morning. We tried in our home to not allow that to happen. But I just want to thank the church for that. I think that speaks well of you. Another thing I want to thank you for was talked about the travels that we did.
Lord,
and a lot of those travels happen during a time of our life when we had no money.
Before the mountains were brought forth,
and the church
thou hadst formed the earth
was behind
the
world, us,
even from everlasting
and
to everlasting,
helping that to happen.
Thou art God. There I see the first basic thing that I want to mention.
So I want to thank you especially for that.
That's
been very meaningful.
It all begins with God, doesn't it? The book of Genesis,
I don't know how you look at it, but I see it as having been an investment
that is the one
in my life
in
and in the life of the church.
Is God. So we need to start there.
I'd also like to thank the church for your patience with me. I still stand by my statement about Tom. I know Tom and I didn't do everything right.
That Paul was up on Mars Hill, and he was declaring the unknown God.
You heard some stories about
that
already.
That I think is very interesting and kind of sums that verse up. He says,
"So I thank you for your patience and allowing God to do His work in my life over the years."
Think about that.
I'd like to especially thank my family. They've been very supportive during this time.
And he's our dwelling place.
They've been a big encouragement
to me.
And
then he goes on in that verse.
In my own walk with the Lord, in my ministry. So I just thank you for that. And I especially want to thank Luke. I'm not sure.
Moses. Moses wrote Genesis.
What Luke thought he saw in me.
I think you see that here.
But
reflected in this,
when he invited me to go to Nepal in 2007,
I
had no idea what God was going to do in my life from that time.
He wrote Genesis, Exodus,
and
he
has been pretty good at
those things back there. I mean,
volunteering me into a number of situations. I just thank you, Luke, for believing in me.
I just hope
that today,
as you
think about these things, I hope that you can realize that it's not I. It's Christ in me.
Very important. You know,
if there's anything good that's come out of my life, it's because of Christ.
And I believe
anything that you see that's not good
of creation, he will
pins right here.
He can to destroy it.
It's me.
And you heard me say this.
And
before,
I want you to remember that for me, and I want you to remember it for yourself.
Over and over and over again.
Because I think it's an important thing for us to remember.
If you don't believe in a creation,
when Christ is at work in us,
in the Bible, I don't see how you can believe in God.
His work is going to produce things that you and I can't produce.
And so he talks about the
no amount of effort.
He is from everlasting to everlasting God.
Anything
God. You
that
know,
the Lord
Moses,
can do.
Moses, as he wrote that, as he wrote about God creating the world and all of those things.
And all of that
he thought about
that
he
does
God was
comes
before that.
By
he was there
his
from
grace.
Everlasting before that, and he'll be here from everlasting
he gives
after
it to
that.
Us.
And so he is from everlasting
we will never earn it.
To everlasting.
And we
so
will never perform enough to get his favor.
And that is that God
we only
is eternal.
Need to receive what he offers
and
us.
If you take any of this away, you have
and when we do that, he's pleased,
and, all
and we're blessed.
And that's where it needs to
and
be
we can be a blessing.
God is eternal.
There's
now,
a lot
like
more I could say.
To the next.
I trust that as we go forward,
I'm going to read those.
That
thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight
we continue to learn and grow,
watch in the night.
And that our horizons continue to be widened.
They are as asleep in the morning. They are
that
like
we can see more and more.
In the morning it flourishes
of
and grows
our world
up,
around
it is
us.
Cut down and withereth.
and less of our own inner circles.
Life lesson that we, man,
that we can have the heart of God
temporary
for all mankind.
God is eternal. We are not.
Thank you.
We are mortal.
Again for your
we
kind
are
words.
On this earth. He says there in that verse 3, thou turnest man to destruction. What's he saying there? I think he's saying he turns man back to dust. That's the destruction. We're here for a while and we're turned back to dust. Remember, it was Moses that said, and he quoted what God had said there after the fall, from dust you were formed and dust you're going to return. And so he's saying there that you turn man back to dust again. In those next verses, he sees how God looks at time and how we look at time. Quite a different perspective, isn't there? He says that for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, and you know, it is gone. It's past as they watch in the night. It carries those years away like a flood. If you've ever seen a flood or pictures of a flood, you know, it just carries everything away. And that's the way that time is. And there again, I think that Moses had this perspective that while God is eternal, we are not. We are temporary. And I think it's really good for us to keep that in mind. That we're only here for a time. And that time will end. Unless the Lord comes back again, all of us are going to end. So, that perspective of time. And we need to serve the Lord today. Because this is the only time we are going to be here. This is the time that the Lord has given to us. We need to serve Him today. And today is for that time. So that's the second lesson that we need to learn. Number 3 is from verses 7 to 12. And I'll read those. And this is a part, it seems a little strange that he drops this in here. And this part is a part that's a little bit more difficult to talk about. And it's kind of unexpected here when you're in this psalm. And this is what he says, for we are consumed, verse 7, for we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. You think about that? You think about it? We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the anger? Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. I've titled this section, the number 3 life lesson, we deserve God's wrath. Now, I don't like to think about that. I don't like to talk about that. But we, as human beings, deserve God's wrath. His anger on all of us is justified. It's real. It's true. And we deserve it. And we need to think about that. Remember, again, Moses wrote about man's fall. He wrote about Adam and Eve, and Eve taking of that fruit, and Adam also taking it. And he wrote about how that man deteriorated and became so wicked that God destroyed him, all except Noah and his family, in a flood. You see, you just see the anger of God going down through those times, and how wicked man really became. The Bible tells us, all we like sheep have gone astray. There is none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Death is passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And you know, and wrath. When he said to Adam and Eve, he said, you eat of that tree and you're going to die. And it was an expression of his wrath. And then he goes in there and he talks about, there in verse 10, he says, the days of our years are 80 years, and 10, if by reason of strength they be 80 years. I've always taken that as kind of our lifespan. And it is. It kind of fits in generally into our lifespan today, doesn't it? But you know, that wasn't the lifespan back then. Moses himself lived 120. And I don't think that was unusual for people to live up over 100 years old. And Abraham lived, what, 175 and so on. So you had, you know, and also today it even doesn't quite fit. You take 100 and some years ago, our lifespan was a lot less than what this is saying. I think as I studied this, what Moses is talking about here, you remember the setting of Moses. And he's talking about God's wrath. And God's wrath was a very constant reminder in death to Moses and the people. You remember what had happened? If this is at the end of Moses' life, which I think probably he wrote this prayer toward his end, almost 40 years earlier, what had happened? They refused. They rebelled. God wanted to take them into the land, and they said, no, we can't do it. And God said, okay, you're going to wander in the wilderness now for 40 years. Those children you were so concerned about that were going to be killed and so on, they're going to go in and you're not. As I understand it, all the men 20 years old and older died before they went into the land. And I think this, and if you think about it, this is probably some of the age of those men. I think they died early because of that rebellion. And so God's wrath, God's anger at that sin was being constantly reminded to them. Every time somebody died, and many of them, I mean, there was just constant deaths that were taking place. Before they could go into the land, and so we see that I believe that death is a part of God's anger. Verse 12, he says then, and somehow I never connected this verse 12. So teach us to number our days. I never connected that to the passage before. I always kind of took that verse out of its context. And he says, as a result of seeing God's anger, he says, so teach us to number our days. Put it in context of God's wrath. And we need this. And we need to see that part of God. And you know, if we don't see the part of God's wrath and God's anger, we are not going to appreciate the next one. We're not going to appreciate it. We're not going to fully realize it. Because the next part, as we go into the next life lesson, and that is in verses 13 to 15, I'm going to read those. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O, satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. The next lesson is, God is merciful. God is merciful. And after you look at that last one, and then come to this, what a relief. What a blessing that God is merciful. We deserve His wrath, but He is merciful. And we see that mercy. We see that mercy, of course, in our Lord Jesus Christ. How could Moses write about this mercy? And you know, he says, return, O Lord. Return. How long, he said, how long, Lord, before you fulfill that mercy? You see, Moses had made a prophecy. And he prophesied over in Deuteronomy 18:15. He talks about that prophet that is to come. And it's a prophecy of Christ. And Jesus coming to this earth. And so Moses is referring, how long, Lord, are you, how long before that happens? Well, it was going to be a long time yet, wasn't it? From Deuteronomy to Luke. And so he's saying, Lord, have mercy upon us. Send it to us. And then it came. We've just celebrated that time these past few weeks. And that time when Jesus came to this earth as a baby. And what a blessed time that is. You know, one of the things that stand out, and I think it's one of the most misunderstood things in the whole Christmas story. You remember when the angels came to the shepherds? We all know that. And they said, glory to God in the highest. By the way, they said it. Do you ever know that the Bible never says that angels sing? They always say. That's just an interesting point. But I'm sure their voices are more beautiful than any of our singing. But they said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Think about that phrase. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Now I hear that phrase used, and the emphasis is always usually on, you know, we need to have peace on earth. We need to have peace among men, and so on. And that's true. And if we really understand what it's really saying, that can happen. But that's not the main emphasis of what the angels said. The angels were saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. That's God having peace toward men by sending Jesus. God in His mercy. God in His love for us. He is now, as Moses was saying, Lord, send us this. Send it. We need it. Send Your mercy. And there it comes. And the angels are announcing it. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, God is now ready to make peace with man through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's important for us to have that to have that perspective. And so, lesson number 3 is, God is merciful. And our message to the world today is that same message, and that is that We need the message of Jesus and how that He does bring God's peace to us. And you know, when we experience the peace of God in our hearts, then we can experience it with others, and it has spread through the world. So remember that. God is merciful in sending His Son. Lesson number 5. We have the last 2 verses. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. I've titled this lesson, God's work is bigger than any one of us. God's work is bigger than any of us. God's work doesn't begin with us and end with us. We are only a part of it. We are only a part of it. We notice here that it says that, you know, let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. He wants it to be a work that goes on. You know, we all learn from somebody else. We learn from those that were involved in God's work. And we carry it on, and then we want to pass it on to others. And that's important that we do that. And we need to realize that His work is much bigger than any of us. Any one of us. You know, I hope that our work can be work that lasts. We want it to be. Over in 2 Corinthians, it talks about a person's work. And it says that the work can be either built with gold, precious stones, and silver, or it said it can be built on wood, hay, and stubble. Things that burn up and pass away. And I think we all desire that our work can be lasting. Our work can go on. And we don't want all that we do to be just in vain and pass away. I understand what the Apostle John said over in the 3rd John, that little short epistle there. There in verse 4, he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And I understand that much better than what I did maybe at one time. But I think it's something that when we see God's work go on, others pick it up and take it on, it makes it worthwhile. The hours, the stress, the sorrow, the disappointments, all that goes into the work of the Lord. And it seems like there's always those things that are involved when we serve the Lord. And when we can do all of that, we know that it's precious. Verse 17 says, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Is that our desire? God's beauty works in our lives. And he says then, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. We want it to be lasting. We want it to go on and where others pick it up and continue on with it. Well, I hope that as we look at these 5 life lessons, that it can be reminders for us. That we look at the things that are important. We look at the things that last. We look at the things that are basic to our life. And I just trust that as Harold and Cheryl continue on, they're in a new chapter in their life. And I know that their heart is that they can continue to serve the Lord and to be used of Him. And so we just wish them the Lord's blessing, and trust the Lord will continue to give them guidance and wisdom in the days ahead. Lord bless you all. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom, for that message. I think that we all do well to notice, to take note. Those who've gone before, life lessons, it's always easier to learn from the mistakes of others, less painful to learn from the mistakes and right choices of others than to make them again ourselves. God is eternal and the creator of all. This is the foundation of all that we believe. We are temporary. We deserve God's wrath. God is merciful. And God's work is bigger than any of us. I think that's a really good outline for my life to think of. Okay. At this time, we will open it up for sharing. I think we'll have. I thought about asking people to come forward, but I think they'll be pretty uncomfortable with that, some people. So if you'd like to share, raise your hand. The ushers can bring you a mic. Some things I wrote down concerning Harold. We started attending Calvary Chapel when I was 9 years old, if I'm right. And I was trying to think of my earliest memory of Harold, and I don't know that I remember seeing him preach or hearing him preach or whatever as a little boy. I remember when I was 13, I think this is the first memory that I can actually say I remember of Harold, was when I went forward when Larry Showalter was here preaching, and it was my dad and Harold that knelt with me in the basement in the old church when I received Christ. So that would be my first memory of Harold. For those of you who know me well enough to know my family, Glenn Guidley was my father-in-law. Glenn and Harold were, I think I can say, best buddies. And Glenn often made mention of his appreciation of Harold and Harold's leadership in the church. Tom already mentioned this, that he and Harold did not always agree on things. I remember when I was ordained and became part of the ministry team, I remember maybe being surprised to find out that they didn't agree on everything. But I say that to say I appreciated that while there were disagreements and things that needed to be worked through, when those of us in the congregation heard from Harold and Tom, we heard a united voice, and I appreciated that. That was something that I really saw from behind the scenes when I joined the team. And then lately here, Harold has especially been trying to, in the last couple of years, to invest in myself and Lynn and Sam in the areas of leadership and teaching us to about leadership. And I want to thank Harold for his efforts in that. Friday evening, two nights ago, we had our first team meeting without Harold. And, you know, when I I don't know if you want to say took the reins, I guess. It was different and it was new, but there was still something. There was still continuity there. There was still Harold. And now there's not. So, yeah, I don't know. I guess it just kind of, I think I can speak for all three of us, Tom, or for Lynn, Sam, and myself, that it all, it became real. It's kind of the ball is in our court, I guess. I'll put it that way. So again, I want to thank Harold and Cheryl for their time and their contributions through the years, both to me personally and to the congregation. Okay, I will open it up. If you just so you know, we started early so that we would have time for sharing. Don't feel like you're taking too much time. We welcome anyone that wants to share. Who'll go first? Okay, Tiffany over here.
The last number of years, I've just noticed a change in Harold's preaching where he was more willing and open to share how God was working in his life. And I really appreciate the vulnerability that he showed in that for myself and my own faith journey. That was very beneficial. And I know being vulnerable in private is hard enough, but to be that way publicly takes the grace of God. And so thank you, Harold, for allowing God to use you and how you were growing in your faith journey to bless me personally. And I'm sure there's others here that have been blessed by the way God has worked in Harold's life.
Okay, Lisa?
I just want to thank Harold and Cheryl for all that they've invested in the church. Most of my life, Harold has been one of the preachers here, and I've just really appreciated all that you've contributed and all the hours of sacrifice. And I think we need to just pray for Harold as they make this adjustment, because I know it is a big adjustment. Thank you.
Sam? If someone else, get your hand up, we'll get you the mic. You'll be next. Okay, Sam.
I, too, want to thank Harold and Cheryl for all that they have put in the congregation over the years. And he's always been a leader that's been stable, you could say. We could know that Harold was here and that things were going to be okay. And now I'm kind of uncertain about it, you know. But I know God will be graceful. And I want to just thank you, Harold, for all your service you've done. May God bless you.
Okay, Ray. Right here, Ray. Behind you, Dalton.
I don't know if I can do this. I worked for Harold for 7 years, and even though he was a preacher at church, a leader at church, I could talk to him about anything, and we did. We had disagreements, but he allowed me to be me, and he was the mentor that I needed. I feel like I had maybe an advantage over most of you because of that personal time that I was able to spend with him day by day. And when we were in the pickup together, getting parts or in the wintertime going up to get coffee at have coffee at Centerville. Even today, I know that I can go and talk to Harold about anything. And he often asks me, how's it going? It takes an interest. And he was more than a preacher. He was more than a brother. And thank you for that, Harold.
Thank you, Ray. Okay, up here, Craig.
We too have appreciated, all that Harold has brought to the church and life. When we started attending Calvary Chapel, I was 15, and just coming into a new church was hard, but Harold and Cheryl were very kind to us, and I appreciated Tim helping me learn and adjust to being at church. And when Ray said something about going for coffee with Harold, it reminded me, I too got to ride with Harold once, or a few times, but I remember a very memorable trip to the farm show in Kentucky, and we had fun. I think one of the things that I remember about that was we missed an exit or something, construction, and we had to turn around or just switch lanes. And we had a lot of fun with that. I think we left a part or two behind, but it was good.
Okay, Lynn, over here. Okay. Dalton, Frida's going. Oh, you got somebody already? Okay, all right. Okay, Lynn.
To Harold and Cheryl, I want to thank you and bless you for all the hours and the time that you put into ministry here and your kindness. That's one thing that really stood out to me from Harold personally is his kindness. I can't remember Harold ever attacking my character. But just blessing me instead. Harold is an encourager. Many times that Harold would share with me would be through encouragement. And I've shared this with you here before at our congregation here, but when we lived in San Antonio, some of the tough times that we went through, I could always depend on the fact that God's going to have somebody send a text, and many times that was Harold. At just the right time, listening to the Spirit. I want to bless you for that, Harold. One of the things Harold has a seed that he's sown in my life is to never be satisfied where I'm at, but to always strive to grow deeper and to grow closer to God. And for that, I bless you, Harold. His messages the last while have really struck me with the idea of walking with God in our everyday. And the picture that he gave us of who God is through Scripture, through his messages, has really stood out to me and gave me focus, gave me desire, I guess. And I just had to think about, as Tom shared, that God is bigger. His work is bigger than any of us. Harold, you've shared many, many times here. And if those of us that have sat here and listened to your message have paid attention, your messages are going to live on. Because God doesn't change. What you shared will not change. And I just really want to bless you. Your ministry's not over. Thank you so much for what you put into my life.
Okay, Danny.
Harold and Cheryl, we want to thank you for your friendship to us. We weren't 15 when we started coming here and had to make quite a change, but through Harold and Tom, we felt pretty comfortable here. But Harold always kind of made me a little bit nervous. He was a little bit intimidating to me. But one life lesson that I learned from Harold was just spend some time sitting in the gazebo talking and just getting to know each other. And fixing that swimming pool and killing some snakes helps too.
Okay, Monica? Oh, Mark.
Hey, Luke.
He said he loves Harold and Cheryl.
All right.
I would have to say that there's a lot of things I've learned from Harold. I did not start coming here when I was 15 either. I started coming from when I was an infant. So he's been a leader in my life, all of my life. A couple things that I've learned from him or that I've seen in his life is he's unflappable. He doesn't get excited very easily about things. He also doesn't get upset about things very easily or afraid or worked up about stuff. I know there's been a couple times in my life where things were kind of, I can think of one instance especially where it, to me, it looked like a scary situation or something that was overwhelming, and he just hit it head on and didn't show fear, had a solution, just was steady. And then just watching his life, and there's a phrase I heard this year, to pivot, not panic, and I would say that is what Harold has done when things went sideways. He didn't panic, he pivoted. And in the little bio in the bulletin, it said that he thanks God for the hard things. And that's a testament to his ability to pivot, to allow the things that come that weren't expected, to use those as directional, to change direction, to grow, and to keep moving. I often get stopped up real quick with things that are hard. It's easy to react to them and kind of want to walk away or give up. But his example is to go deeper into his relationship with God, and that's a huge testimony. I'd also like to say something about Sheraldine. I don't know how many hours I've talked her ear off in my childhood, but she was always available to listen. And I knew any time I stopped in at their house, it would be a long stop. Not because she was talking, but because she was listening to me ramble on and ask questions. And also not share what I said with anyone. I didn't have any fear of her spreading anything that I said to anybody else. So she was very trustworthy. And I appreciate both of them being steady and consistent in my life.
Thank you. Okay, up here we have Frida. Do you have anyone else? Go next. Okay, up here, Luke. Okay, Frida.
When I was in the hospital, had my last surgery in February, which was 2020, I was laying there in bed. They kept telling me to keep doing my ankle pumps to keep the circulation going so there's no blood clots. And I was laying there, and I was just thinking, I wonder who's going to come visit me today. All of a sudden, I heard this voice. Here she is. She's got her legs just a-going. In walked Harold and Sheraldine. I really appreciated the visits that they had with us. We had a lot of good visits together. I appreciated it.
Okay. All right, we're going to have Luke. Who will go next over here? Okay, Sheldon. All right.
So I first met Dad when I was living in Hong Kong, and it was 6 o'clock in the morning for me. Sorry, 6 o'clock in the morning for him, and about 6 o'clock in the evening for me. And Amy said, that's the only time you'll really catch my dad. So I'm really glad he was in a yes mood that morning at 6 o'clock. now part of the family. So married the only daughter, and it's been a real privilege, not just getting to know Dad as a father-in-law, but also as a partner in the gospel. And Dad, I can't tell you how much I've appreciated working alongside you. And Dad and I serve on a board together. We're part of a leadership group together, and we've traveled to Nepal several times together. We're hoping to do that again this year. And it's just been pure joy sitting under Dad's teaching and also working alongside him. So really honored to be here for really what's called a retirement. But I think this is a refirement for Dad. I think Dad is getting refired for a whole lot more, and just really excited about his future. One of the things in this statement that I thought was really cool is how Dad was Mom's favorite preacher. And he certainly was one of my favorite preachers and teachers. And I was reminded of that again last Sunday when I was here and just heard another tremendous message. Calvary Chapel, you have been blessed, seriously blessed with amazing teaching over the years. And Dad's not finished. He's got a lot in him yet. And so I'm excited about that. I wanted to point out in your bulletin, the first page, the last line, there's a sentence I'd like to complete. A real highlight during their years of ministry was seeing the missions committee carry out some very strategic goals. And Dad has become very, very missional and encouraged me a lot in his heart for ministry around the world. I talked a little bit about favorite preacher, and I do have to point out one point of humor yet that I heard this morning for the first time. I heard one more story about Dad that I had not heard before. There's one member of the family that is present today, one of the not-so-trouble makers in the family. You'll have to figure out who that one is. But was in trouble one Sunday morning, and I don't know if Dad was his favorite preacher that day or not, but he was invited to come up and sit behind the pulpit while Dad was preaching. Does anybody remember that? I just want to see if there's a guy. Danny and Joe remember that. Okay. All right. So you'll have to check with Danny and Joe. And that was the day Lynette tells me that she fell in love with a certain person. So we have no idea who this certain person was, but I heard that story for the first time this morning. Dad, I want to leave you with a passage from Philippians 1, verse 6. And he who began a good work in you will perform and complete it in the day of Christ Jesus. And the best is yet to come, Dad. You're not retiring. You're refiring. God bless you.
Okay. Over here we have Sheldon. Somebody want to... Over here? Okay. All right, Sheldon.
That's kind of hard to follow, but thank you, Luke, for those positive words for your father. And I would echo those words, being privileged to serve on the ministry team for quite a few years with Harold and Tom and leadership here as the deacon. And the many words of affirmation that I received from Harold, thank you for that. Been a privilege to walk with you. I think we walked through a building program and putting this facility up here. A lot of times to work with Harold, and they've been good. There have been some fun stories to go with that, but we'll leave those for the fellowship hall. But thank you, Harold, for your diligence in seeking the Word and sharing the Word. And His mercies are new every morning, and I go back to that. My thoughts go to Harold every time I think of God's mercies are new every morning. And thank you for that encouragement. This past year has not been easy, but His mercies are new every morning, and we have His grace to walk with us. And I'm grateful for that, for those encouragements, many messages. I also appreciate the way you have invested in our family, my sons, taking time to... care for our children. It means a lot. Thank you.
Okay, who will go next over here? Somebody want the mic next? All right, well, if yeah, I know we've got Tony, but I'm wondering about somebody for next. All right, go ahead, Tony.
So I was thinking about, you know, often when you want to know what a person is like, they say to ask their family. And I just wanted to testify to the things that everybody is saying, that's who my parents really were. And when I think about my dad, for those of you that don't know, I'm their oldest son. I remember when he was ordained, walked out of the old church. I was 5 years old, and Howard Schwartz looked at me, and he goes, "Well, now you're a PK." And I remember it like it was yesterday, and I spent the rest of my life trying to figure out what that means. But when I think about my dad and my mom together, probably the one thing I think of is faithfulness. My dad was someone who always stood for what was right, and sometimes it was hard. I remember one time it was a little bit us boys couldn't figure it out, but we were at the farm show, and he won these. We were at the Tractor Pull, and they handed out free lottery tickets, and Dad was in the seat to receive these, so they'd come and give them, and he wouldn't take them. And we were like, you know, we couldn't believe this. Like, we could maybe win the lottery, you know, but he was standing for what he believed. And another time that is really, I've thought about this a lot, especially a few years ago, Howard Schwartz reminded me of it. But it was a time in my life when I wasn't living right. And my dad, from the pulpit, called me out and rebuked me. And it wasn't because he was angry with me, but because it was the right thing to do. And I don't know if you remember that, Dad, but I want to thank you for doing that. When it was hard. Yeah, I could talk a lot of things. My mom, I appreciated her prayer life. It's always what I think about her, very faithful in prayer. One thing I did think about also was one sermon I remember. Don't remember the title or the content, but about halfway through the sermon in the old church, my dad started getting really fidgety, and he said, you know, could you guys just sing a song or something, and went hightailing out the back door for a few minutes, so, but thank you.
I'll just interject here that now that Harold wasn't in the meeting Friday night, we go longer between breaks, too, so. Okay, anyone else? Okay, Mary Lou.
I just want to put an amen to everything that was said because it's 100% true. And I would just want to add that I do appreciate their friendship and how they stood behind us through sickness, whatever. And yeah, I do miss his sermons. And even though I've not been hearing them, I thought, oh no, Harold's going to quit preaching. But yeah, I always enjoyed his sermons. And one thing he used a lot was the therefore, to look further. There's something, yeah. But yeah, thanks, Harold and Geraldine.
Okay, anyone else? Okay, Ellen? Over here, Ellen.
We have so many good memories of working with Harold and Cheryl. One of the things that always kind of surprised me in our ministry team meetings, when those of you who know Sheldon know he can kind of spin a story pretty quickly, and Cheryl would fall for it. And so it's like, Cheryl, I cannot believe with the sons you have that you would take. Yeah, but anyway, I love her, just her openness and honesty. And maybe that's why she believed it, because she wouldn't tell the untruth herself. So another thing that I really admire about Cheryl is her willingness to go with Harold across the water. We all know that those hours across the water to Thailand and China are long, difficult hours in a plane. And she did it time and time again. And that leads me to another thing that I really appreciate about Harold and Cheryl was not only did they serve really well here and care for our people here, they served Global Tribes Outreach very well. And the years that Harold was on the board, they were in Thailand for the missionaries' retreat to encourage and bless the people that were working there. And they have come alongside us in many, many ways and many times. And Harold and Cheryl, we love you dearly. And I agree with Luke and others that are saying this is not a retirement for Harold. We look forward to hearing more from him. And I know that God will continue to use him and Cheryl in very many special ways. God bless you.
Okay. All right. Rosalind.
I, too, am echoing what so many others have said. I just feel so grateful and blessed. We feel grateful and blessed to have grown up under leadership and example of Harold and Cheryl. And in my reading this week, I came across Hebrews 13:7. It says, "Remember your leaders who taught you the word of God. Think of all the good that has come from their lives and follow the example of their faith." And, of course, this is on our mind. You know, Harold is stepping down from a full ministry position here, but they immediately came to my mind, the example that Harold and Cheryl have lived. And as a young person, they've always been a part of my life and made intentional effort. I am grateful to call Cheryl a friend. She's one who's been a personal friend. And the time they took to take me out to breakfast when I was living out east, it may have just been another thing to check off their list. I don't know, but they did it. And I really enjoyed that personal time with them. And two, we have some good memories of them from youth trips. And Harold can handle a Max even very well at good speeds on the freeway and also in the mountains of the Carolinas. And as Tyrell said, he would put his trucker hat on and put his seat back and we would go and make good time. But just very blessed, as Luke said, to have him as a part of my life and Cheryl my entire life. And I feel very grateful for that. Thank you.
We're not going to beg, but we're not going to cut anyone off either. Okay, Marcus.
I've been trying to kind of sum up in my mind here how Harold spoke to me. And I think Harold helped me to see beyond myself, helped me to see beyond Calvary Chapel. And I think part of that was due to his travels overseas, but to realize that God's world is so much bigger than what my world is. And Harold helped me to see that. And I always looked forward when I saw his name in the bulletin that he was to preach. I always looked forward to Harold's messages. I appreciate him. So thank you, Harold.
I, too, feel like I should say something. I really appreciated Harold, and I think I'll throw Tom's name in here too over the years as leaders. A quote I came across the other day was, "Our talk talks and our walk talks, but our walk talks louder than our talk talks." And when I was sitting here thinking of Harold, I want to thank you for not just talking, but walking it also. And like I said, I want to say that to Tom too. I know this is Harold's day, but I appreciate both of you very much and what you have done in my life.
Okay, I guess I've known Harold most of my life and Cheryl all my life. I learned to know Harold when I was very young. Actually, I still have a memory when I was young enough, I still slept with Cheryl. And Harold and Cheryl were dating, and he went home and she come upstairs crying. But anyhow, long story short, he's been a brother-in-law most of my life, and appreciate the many times that he's been an encouragement to me, and just bless you, Harold, for that. And there's been times that he's had to call me down, I guess. I still remember in the old church one time, Ray and I were in the back, and he was preaching, and he made us move up front. And
Ray was being influenced by you, I suppose.
Yeah, it was all Ray's fault.
Yeah.
But anyhow, I probably needed it. And but no, I appreciate the many times that we've been able to. Yeah, he's been an encouragement to me, and there's been times I've deserved worse. Thank you again.
Okay, Dean. Here's a blast from the past.
Yeah, I wasn't going to necessarily share anything, but I do want to bless Harold and Cheryl. I grew up under his preaching, and I think we go back till as far as I can remember, and what a lot of great times. And I guess one thing that I think about, and for all of us, but, you know, our lives aren't perfect, and many things and can turn us either bitter or sweeter, and Harold has been a real example for me to just, you know, when life deals you lemons, sometimes make lemonade. And, you know, these things can be a disaster to us if we let them. But, you know, with the help of God and good examples around us, he is a good example to me. And, I see Harold and Cheryl as very sweet, and that life has not made them bitter. Some people, when they get older, they become more bitter. And for Harold, it's not been that way, and what a blessing. What an example.
Can I go? I just praise the Lord this morning that I can be here. I used to sit up front, but for some reason they put me in the back. But anyway, I want to tell Harold, when I heard that he's going to retire, I thought why he's still so young. He can walk so well yet. Why do you want to retire? Well, anyways, that's his wishes, his choice, and I want to accept that. But I just want to let him know that I always appreciate Harold's preaching and wonderful testimony he always had. Let's praise the Lord. Keep on keeping on, Harold. I know you will. Lord bless you.
Thank you, Mary. Anyone else? Okay, thank you for all who have shared. We plan to have a farewell from Harold at this time. And after that, we want to have a time of prayer and blessing. That's going to be, I think everyone's going to want to be part of that. So I think what we'll do is we'll just kind of, let's see, how should we do this? I think maybe we'll ask Harold and Cheryl to come down, kind of not clear in the front, maybe move back just a little bit so that more people can...